Thank you, Roger. Yes, we do have some miles behind us. I'll lose my place if I don't have my magic pen. I'm sorry. You know, Christmas is past, and we've just celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would like to welcome everyone here in His name. And now the new year's coming on, and I was thinking about this sermon before I even thought about speaking today. Because I need to focus more on some things in my life. I need to draw closer to God. So I'm not real good on making resolutions because they'll be gone January 2nd. But I do need to focus on it, and I think all of us probably do, because I need to draw nearer to God so He can draw near to me. And I need to focus on things that I know of that I need to change about myself. And it's kind of what the topic of my sermon is a new you, or a new me. And I hope it comes out that way when I go through some of the scriptures that I have. I hope that I can get it to come across good enough that we can focus on making ourselves better for Christ, making ourselves better in Christ. Okay, I'm going to start out on page 220 of the Book of Mormon. You probably quote this one, but it's always good to rehearse it again. Got a lot of good things to say in it. That's the Book of Mosiah. Excuse me before I damage a cord. Book of Mosiah, the second chapter, it's in King James' proclamation. And he was a just king and a good king, and he led the people in righteousness. Mosiah 2:13. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. I think it's a key thing there, that sincerity of heart, or do, when I go into my prayers, do I just say, Lord, would You forgive me? You know, and I don't really care if You do or not. But with sincerity of heart, instead of just mumbling the words or thinking about it. There I am. And now if you believe these things, see that you do them. So if you believe something, are you going to do what's asked of you? If you believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, are you going to do the commandments that He asks us to do? Not that He's a taskmaster or does it because He wants to put us down or keep us under His thumb, because He knows the best for us. And that's why He has it out there for us, is because He loves us that much. He loves us that much because He knows that if we don't go follow His commandments and we go down another path, He knows where that leads. It leads to destruction and to everlasting death in the next world. But He also knows that if we follow the things that He would have us to do, that's going to lead to eternal life, that we have hope of eternity in heaven. Because He's the one that created us, He knows how our brains work, and He knows that the natural man is an enemy to God. And He doesn't want that. He wants a changed heart. He wants a changed us. John 3. Nicodemus is a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin. He was pretty high up in the stature of men as far as, I want to say politics, and that probably fits. Sanhedrin was, if I can recall it right, it was one of those groups that they were held up above others. If I'm wrong, let me know, because I'm guessing. I'm not guessing, but I'm trying to recall it to my brain. Anyway, I just read it. Verse 1, there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus saw that the healings and stuff, nobody could do it unless God was with him. It couldn't just come to him openly at that time. So it came to him by night. Jesus answered and said unto him, because Jesus knew where his heart was at, and then he probably really wasn't understanding what was going on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, he knew he couldn't do that. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We don't comprehend all the things that God can comprehend. We may not understand why we have to go through what some would call a ritual, to be baptized, to go down into the water and rise up again. But God knows why. God knows things we can't even think about knowing. He knows how bad it's going to be in hell. He knows how good it's going to be in heaven. He knows what I'm thinking at any given time. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? They didn't understand. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, the children of Israel were wandering. They had a problem with serpents, with snakes. And when they bit them, they would die. So Moses put this serpent figure up on a pole and lifted it up. And if they looked at it after they were bit, they lived. But you know what? There were some that wouldn't look at it. They wouldn't do it. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. When he's lifted up, you would think it would be something as simple as if you got bit, you're going to die if you don't look at that. The same thing with sin. It's bit us. We were born with it. But anyway, you can look at it like it bit us, and if we don't look to Christ, we're going to die. How simple is that? But the same way, there's people that are stubborn. They're not going to do it. For whatever reason, they are not going to look. And they're going to die. And this is why God sent His Son. It wasn't to make it hard for us, but that He loved us so much. It took me a long time to understand that the things that happened to me that I know God puts me through is because He loves me and He wants me to learn from it. And He wants me in heaven. He wants me to be with Him. It's not to make it hard on me or because, well, Mark, you just don't get it yet. And lots of times I don't. But He does these things because He loves me so much. And it goes on to say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why He sent down Jesus Christ. That's why He came down here and lived with us. He knows what we go through. Because He loved us so much that He gave us a gift of His Son. And all we have to do is accept the gift. Unwrap it and make it yours. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the truth, the light, and the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man, nobody, except through Jesus Christ. And that's it. You can't work your way to heaven. It's not going to happen. You can't sit there and just hope your way into heaven. We have to do acts of obedience. And one of those is following His commandments. I want to lay a little bit of a foundation here. Romans 5. Romans 5. I'll start at verse 8 and then I'll skip a little bit. This talks about atonement. And if you don't know what atonement is, it kind of explains it here. And we throw out all these words, and I heard them when I was growing up, you know, atonement, redemption. I didn't know what they meant. Kind of, you know, had an idea, but didn't understand it. 5:8, but God commandeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. For as by one man sin entered in... For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God for that first time, we became sinful. Let's skip down to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, Adam and Eve, Adam, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, Jesus Christ. That's what atonement is. Because of the righteousness of Christ, He atoned for the sin of Adam. And we accept it, hopefully. Romans 6. Romans 6, and I'll start at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If we've taken on baptism and gone through it, we've been buried with him in the water. And as he came up out of the water, and as we come up out of the water, and as he was resurrected, we have a hope of that resurrection also, because we've been obedient. We've been obedient into going down into the waters of baptism and being washed clean. Repenting of our sins. Changing the way we think about things and changing the way we think about sin. Changing the way we think about the things we know better than doing, instead of saying, it'll be okay, nobody's going to know. God knows. You can't hide it. And it's the things you do when you're alone tells what character you're made of. Because when nobody's watching, are you going to do what's right? Or are you going to do what's not right? Because nobody can see you. That's the character of a man we need to be, of a person we need to be, is when nobody's watching, and it's not going to matter really except to us and God, do the right thing. Second Corinthians 5. If it seems like I'm being a little bit staring at you, it's for me. This whole thing, this sermon started developing, and as I was reading the scriptures, it's like, I need to change some things. I need to change the way I look at certain things that I've probably backslid on as far as the way I think about him. Because everything starts in the mind. And if I don't watch it, and if Satan gets in there and gets a hold of my head and he starts planting seeds and I don't get rid of them, if I don't get that out of my thoughts to begin with, it's going to manifest into action sooner or later. It's just going to happen. That's where it starts, is in the head, in your brain, in the way we think about things. Where am I at? 2 Corinthians 5:17 is just one verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I can remember when I was baptized that everything looked new. I can remember looking out my front door and watching the sunset, and they seemed new. I don't know how else to explain it. They just seemed new. I felt new. I felt clean and I felt different. And I couldn't put it into words at the time. And if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. That it happens, it's there. And I don't comprehend why it takes place exactly, but I know God does, and he said you got to do it to be obedient. Because I don't comprehend a lot of things. I wonder about a lot of things. Sometimes I can figure them out. Sometimes I can find the answers. Sometimes God gives me the answers that I'm looking for. There's a whole lot of things I don't understand. Does everybody comprehend the whole book of Revelation? I don't. I don't even dare to. I try to at times, but I don't know. I don't have the mind of Christ or the mind of God. That's why I like the scripture that says man can't comprehend everything that God can comprehend. For one thing, is he created all things. Ephesians 4. I hope I'm not kicking a dead horse, you might say. But it's things that I need to have just pounded into my head so I can remember them. Because I found out one thing in sports. That's why you practice the same thing over and over and over again. So in the times that you need it, you don't think about it, you react. And that's what I need to do with the Word of God. I need to just practice reading it and practicing it and get it to where when something happens, I just react in the right way. Does it make sense? If you haven't been in sports, I don't know how to actually explain it. But that's why you do the things you do in sports over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, when I was in school, it seemed monotonous until I understood why we did it. Ephesians 4. 22. Paul here is talking to him and he says that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Because it's corrupt because we are in our natural state an enemy to God. It's the old guy that you need to put away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew the thinking that you go through, the thinking process you go through. Renew your mind to think on things that are right. Focus on Jesus Christ and the things that you've been taught here at church and in Sunday school and the things that you read. And if you're having trouble studying the Word or knowing how to find things, ask somebody, because I didn't understand how to use a concordance for the longest time. And I've ran into people that grew up in the church and come to find out they don't know how to use a concordance. And I'm not saying that's bad. Nobody ever took the time to teach them. It's like a young man I ran into one day who needed a quart of oil in his car. So I gave him a quart of oil. He comes back in and he says, "Do you have one of those little funnels that you can stick it in? I'm having trouble getting that oil in that hole." I said, "Well, let me see what you're doing." And I walked out there and he was trying to put, nobody had taught him how to put oil in a car. He was trying to put it in where the dipstick goes. So I showed him over here, there's a big hole here. And he didn't know it. Things that you take for granted, some people have never been taught. Same way with the Scriptures. Some people have never been taught the proper thing about Jesus Christ. And I keep talking and I keep losing my place. That's okay. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you've been baptized, stick with the new man. Because the old man is going to try to rise up. It's Satan's way of, I don't know, I hope you can understand it. It's his way of messing with you. I don't have the greatest vocabulary in the world, but I think everybody understands what I'm talking about. He doesn't like the new you, Satan doesn't. He doesn't like you being in Christ. And he's going to fight as hard as he can to change you back. Colossians 3. Okay. That was one of those I had a question mark by because I can take it out or leave it in. Colossians 3, and it talks about putting off the old man with his deeds and putting on the new man. putting off the old man with the thought patterns that he had, the things that he were doing which is wrong, and changing the way you think about it and things, and putting on the new man. Because it says, put the old man away with his deeds. The deeds are works, the things you do. Put them away. There were things before I was baptized and started learning about Christ that I thought were just fine. And a lot of them weren't. It's just the way my mind was. Everything that we do, everything that we see people do, everything that is around us molds us one way or the other. And if you're around stuff that's not right and proper all the time, you think it's, after a while, you think that's normal, that's okay. And then you find out it's not. I wasn't a stealer, I wasn't a thief, I wasn't a murderer, I wasn't a lot of things. But I was a lot of things that was wrong. And I remember hearing a testimony, and I'm not sure who it was, but when they were baptized, they can recall seeing the old man left in the water because they became new. But the whole third chapter of Colossians, well, the first part of it, you know, it's talking about those things. The Bible and Book of Mormon mention things by word. Put them away. And take on these things because they're better for you. If you are a thief, stop stealing stuff. If you're a liar, quit lying and tell the truth. Yeah. And sometimes that's not easy for people. I've ran into people that I think that they have lied so long that they can't tell you the truth even when you catch them red-handed in a lie. I was working down in Pleasant Hill one day, and I'd been to a business the day before and worked inside underneath where the cashier's at on a phone jack where you plug things in at. So I knew it was there, and I knew that it was working when I left. And I got a call from what you might call a business tech. They work on different things. He said he needed some help down there, so I went down there. And I'm trying to recall exactly how it transpired. But anyway, he had taken the wire that went to that jack and put it on his stuff and used it for his things and stuff. And anyway, I looked at the cashier because it was the same one that was there, and he was wanting my help to get his job done, I guess. Like, it's been a while back. But anyway, I asked the cashier, I said, because I told him, I said, I fixed that yesterday, and it's not for you. And I said, asked the cashier, I said, now didn't I do it? Because he'd got caught, so he just kept going and said, I'd have helped him if he'd have just said, oh yeah, I made a mistake. But no, he said, no, that was dead. And I looked at her, I said, was that working yesterday when I left? She says, yes. I looked at him straight in the eye and I walked off. But that individual does that all the time. He doesn't work for us anymore. He's retired. But I believe, I had to think about it. It's like, you know, you got caught in a lie, and I got a witness and everything. And I think he's just done it so long, he does it. His mind's geared that way. So put the old man away. And that's why it talks about your mind, because you think different, because you may not know any better because of all the input you've had and the way that you were taught growing up. But read the scriptures, and if you don't understand them, ask somebody. Everybody in here will help you. 2nd chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, and I'll just start at verse 8. Paul says here, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We can stop there. A lot of people do, because you're saved by grace. You can't, you don't need, we talked about, I heard you talking about it in Sunday school up here this morning, you know. Well, you don't need to do anything. Yeah, you do. You need to do the things that God asks you to be obedient, like being baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. But let's go on. Because there's a reason here that we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. It's the way it is. You'll never do anything good enough to work your way to heaven. That's why it's grace, because that's why it's grace that he lets us in. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We do the good things because we want to, not because we're trying to get to heaven or we have to. Because we do the things because of the grace. No, we don't do the things to get the grace. Book of Mormon brings it out just a little bit better, and it's just one verse, and it's on page 143, 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter, and the 44th verse. And it says here, "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do." And I know that people use that verse out of the Book of Mormon and say, well, those people try to work their way to heaven. They think they can work their way to heaven. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do." It's saying to me that after all the things that you do that you think are so great, and you're coming to church every day, and you're helping people out, and you're giving to the poor, and you're taking people into your house because they need to be taken in, and you're doing all these good things, and that's good, but it's not going to get you grace. It's not going to get you into heaven. They tried to build a tower one time to get to heaven. God changed the way they talked, the way they understood speech. The Tower of Babel, or Babel, because that's what a lot of people were doing, was babbling. You can't work your way there. It's by grace that we are saved. And that grace is given to us because we accept the gift that was given in Jesus Christ. Go to the Book of Mormon, page 160. It'd be the 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. I'm going to skip through this. I'm going to read verse 5, and I don't know where I'm going to skip through to yet, but you'll find out when I do. "For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, according to their understanding." To me it says he's going to speak to me probably in English if he speaks to me, because that's what I understand. But it also, the way I understand it is, he's going to speak to Mark Hill the way Mark Hill understands things. He's going to speak to Sean the way Sean understands things. And sometimes for Mark Hill anyway, it's got to be real blunt. And I like it that way. I like it straightforward. Whether I accept it or not, or whether I like what's being said or not, as long as it's the truth and it's said in love, you can say it as blunt as you want to me, because that way I don't have to worry about if you're dancing around something trying to not offend me. If I'm doing something wrong, offend me. Because I need work, and sometimes I don't see the things that I'm doing that aren't good. Does anybody else fall into that? But don't get offended because somebody points it out to you. You want to know why they're pointing it out to you? Not to make them feel better. It's because they love you, especially if it comes from somebody in the body of Christ. Because if I see you doing something wrong and I don't do anything about it, it's, I don't care about you. That's pretty much what it's saying. That's, yeah. And it's hard for some people to accept criticism on what they're doing wrong. I hope I've gotten better at it because I'm hoping that when somebody says something like that, I can look back at myself and I can say, yeah, they're right. Or, well, now we need to talk a little bit because I don't think you're understanding. But I need to be honest with myself first, and I need to be honest in the way I present myself. This is basically Christ's doctrine, because he in verse 12, he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me, that's Jesus Christ, follow me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. You know, John the Baptist was in prison, and he got to wondering, you know, is this really the Christ? And so they came, some of the guys came, and they asked him, John wants to know if you're the Christ. And he says, tell him to look on the things that I've done. And that should tell him. That's not exactly how it's worded. But it was like, the things that I do should tell you that I'm Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 16, I know that if you shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, because he's going to know if you're coming with a true heart to be baptized. Don't do it any other way except without hypocrisy, and try and don't deceive him. You can't do it. But with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that you're willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism. Willing. Satan has this thing that I've heard come from people that are really debating, you know, deciding if they want to be baptized. I don't know enough. That's not a real criteria to know everything. It's are you willing, truly willing to come and to follow after Jesus Christ? Truly willing to be baptized and go down into the water? Not that you have to understand the whole book of Revelation. It's a willingness, a true willingness. Yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And man, that's something that will guide and direct you in your life. It'll help you out in following Christ. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. That's the tongues of angels, is praising Christ. But it's all in here. And if you don't know how to study the Word, get with somebody that'll help you. Get with somebody that'll teach you. There's a whole lot of ministers in this room right now. And if you're wanting to do something new and you want to understand what baptism is all about and why we do it, come and talk to one of us. We're all over the place, it seems. I mean, any minister would be more than happy to sit down and study with you and to teach you how to study. You know, All of us that have been baptized, we could have went another direction. When we came to that fork in the road, and this one says, get baptized and it leads to righteousness. This one says, and it's a wider path than the little narrow one here, because a lot of people take it. It's decision time when it does that. And you don't have to look to Christ and live. He's not saying you got to do it. He doesn't make you do it. It's your choice. You get to decide on which path you're going to take, and you get to decide whether you're going to die an eternal death or you're going to live an eternal life. You get to decide if you're going to hell or to heaven. And that's the way it is. He won't change that. You have to make the decision yourself. Take this path or take this one. We all could have had a different outcome to who we have become in the new man. But I don't know where I would have been. That's all speculation, because I'm not there. I took a different path than the one that I was on because it was easy to walk on. You know, when I'm out hiking, the best paths you take are those ones that go off, the big one that everybody takes, because that's when you see all the really neat stuff most of the time. And the crowds aren't there. And if you do it spiritually, it's the neatest thing that ever happened to you. Guaranteed. Because I remember March 30th, 1991, however many years ago that was. I'd have to get out my calculator, but anyway, 25 some years or whatever. I still remember vividly the things that transpired during my baptism. Things I can't comprehend. You know, I felt the fire when hands were laid on me for reception of the Holy Ghost. I had to pray about it, and I didn't get an answer until it happened. And when it happened, I knew it. And I can't tell you how I knew this either. I don't even know if Alvin remembers it, but we were eating. They took us out to eat afterwards with some people and stuff. And Alvin asked me a question, and I answered it, and we never said a word. I don't understand that at all. But it happened. And we just looked at each other and smiled because he knew it too. Doesn't happen all the time. It's a rarity that ever happens again. But everybody has a different experience because God knows how to talk to you. And he knew how to talk to me. And those testimonies sometimes, they keep me on the right path. Because when I start thinking, well, you know, this, somebody made it up just because, you know, it's old wives' tales and fables that it talks about in here. It didn't really happen, you know. Did Adam and Eve really eat a fruit that condemned them? Yes, I have to believe that because I think it's true. But, you know, when you see and read the stories of the Book of Mormon and the Bible, it's like, right. But it's God, and you know it's God. And it's the testimonies that bind me to that I have of myself and the ones that I've heard. We talk about it a lot. Next week, we're going to take the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We call it, sacrament. That word left. And some people call it communion, but we're going to renew that baptism and renew that which we made when we went down into the waters of baptism. Think about it. It's great. I don't know. Think about if you've been baptized, think about the things that happened to you at that time. The whole experience, because I do at times. I sit there and I just wonder, and it's like I'm in awe of the things that God does for us and the things that he does for me. And you try to explain that to somebody that has no concept of belief or how powerful God is, they might think you're crazy. But I don't care. I know they happened. I'm not going to recant the things that happened to me just because you don't think they're right. And think that I might have an off mind. Because I know they happened. But I'm going to try to keep with the new man. I'm going to look to things that I need to change. I'm not making a resolution, but it's something that I'm going to strive to do because I personally need to do it. I need to draw closer to God because I feel like I'm fading at times and I don't like it. I need that focus, my eye singular on Jesus Christ, to keep me focused on His Son. So my hope is real someday. Thank you.